Good morning, everyone. I'm Carrie Lazat. I'm your Director of Cable and Community Relations here in Bloomfield Township. And welcome to Coffee with Carrie. I hope you have your coffee with you. And we're going to have a short conversation today with our Director of Information Technology, Will Babinchak.
That's correct.
That's right. Okay, I got it. Good. And Will took over this position back in July. He's been doing it for about 8 months now. And so this show, if you haven't seen it before, I talk to people who make Bloomfield Township a wonderful place to live, work, and play. And Will is definitely one of those people working behind the scenes. And you've been at the township for 8 years, right? Prior to this role?
Right. So 2015, started in March of 2015. So just could be 8 years just in a couple of weeks.
And so why did you take the job with the township? How did we end up with you? What were you doing before this?
So I actually was a consultant for about 19 years, and one of my customers was Bloomfield Township. And at that, actually, my kids started to get a little bit older, and I was transitioning out of my company. I was one of the owners at the time. Planned on taking a summer off, and our old former director, Gail, saw a LinkedIn post that I was leaving my company and gave me a call and asked me if I would be interested. So I always tease her, she still owes me a summer vacation because I decided to take it on. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a good opportunity. Mm-hmm. Always liked the consulting here, and I knew a lot of the people and how the system worked. And so it was just a good fit for me. So we just decided to come on.
Yeah. And there's a lot you don't have to worry about when you're working for the government compared to running your own business. I mean, it's pretty dramatic.
Well, that was it. I have three children, but my two boys were getting older. And they were playing sports and doing plays and drama and that type of thing. And I just didn't really want to miss any of it. So I just wanted to transition out. And I was traveling so much. And it was just time to make a change and kind of spend more time at home.
Well, I think you made a good choice because I know we're happy to have you here in the township.
Yeah, it's been great so far. I mean, I've always enjoyed working here as a consultant, but especially as an employee, it's been very good.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about what is that department made up of? How many people are there and who is doing what?
So there's actually only four of us. So myself, the director, Dave Craig is a communications supervisor. His big focus is really on communications between all of our lines. So whether it be radios or phones, he's very highly involved in dispatch and police and fire communication. It's kind of that critical communication. Mm-hmm. And then we have Tim Kaser. He's been here. Both of them have been there 20 plus years. Tim Kaser is one of our network administrators. So he kind of backfilled my position, kind of bringing him up to speed on a lot of things that I was working on when I made the transition to director. And then there's Brandon O'Dell, which he's been here less than a year now. So he is the long-term plan is for him to backfill Dave because Dave's job is so. I wouldn't say that's what would be the right term. There's just a lot of moving parts to learn and a lot of things that he's put together. So there's a lot of that internal knowledge that needs to be transferred to Brandon. So he's on a fast track to get up to speed in the next year and a half or so.
Right. And so we have a way of when we communicate, when we need something, we send it to IT help and we're never really sure who is. It depends on the problem, right? When it comes in and then you. Do you all see that, or how does that work?
We actually do. We all see it, and there are some rules built in depending on some of the words that you send that may go over to communications or may go to network administration. But in the beginning, we all see it. Mm-hmm. So, and then we have a decision where I may assign a ticket, or somebody just picks it up and mm-hmm. goes from there. So it's always been a good system for us.
So when my battery backup went down, I think it was Brandon that ended up coming over.
Yeah, that's more of a whoever's got the free time to do it.
Okay, right.
But a lot of times it will be Brandon. Not that he has a lot of free time. It's just I try to get him, even if it's something small like that. Just familiar with all the departments and kind of.
So he meets everybody.
Yeah, you meet everybody, and over the course of time, it takes a long time to get through all the departments here and actually meet a lot of people. And we've had a lot of turnover lately with retirements and new people coming in, so it's always good to get your face out there.
Right. I'm still getting used to whole departments. I feel like I don't know them well enough yet, but we're getting there.
Getting there. That's one of the benefits of IT. We kind of get to know everybody, and I always tell everybody we are technically the IT department, but I feel like we're kind of part of every department.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys have food, we make sure that we're part of
you're
that
there.
That
you're
day.
There. You show up that day. I think that you do a fantastic job, and especially having run my own business and just managing computer support. You know, yes, I think yesterday it was like there was an issue with my phone. because I'll be going to Canada, mm-hmm. and I had to switch over to the international plan. And it was just like, I called over because it was end of the day, and Dave was like, "Well, did you try rebooting?" I was like, God, I like forgot like the most basic thing is it plugged in and try rebooting, right? Those are like probably the number two one and two.
Well, with the phone, that's probably what fixed it anyway.
So it did.
When we switched when we switched plans, it always the network gets kind of goofed up, so we do have to do that.
Yeah. So I know the police have been talking about the new phones. There's a new communication system. Is that something that Dave was involved with? Like, there was a switch over from what they had before, and now there's a new way for them to communicate.
Yeah, so Oakland County brought in a new radio system, mm-hmm. and Dave is definitely highly involved with that. It is implemented by mm-hmm. Oakland County, so they do kind of the backbone work of it. Mm-hmm. Some of the maintenance is done by us, but Dave has a full understanding of all that. So that was a big transition, not only for us, but it was really all the townships and cities in Oakland County either have moved, or I'm not sure if they still have any more to go, but there was a lot involved with that.
So. Well, I'm sure we could have a very lengthy discussion about the intricacies of the radio if I was to talk to Dave about it.
Yeah, like, we might lose
a couple people. Like, we could go really deep. We lose a few people. So I just want to remind people, too, if you're watching, I think it's probably my team who's watching live right now, but if you're watching live, you can just pop in and ask a question, or just to say hello and let us know that you're out there. So ARPA, I have to say that I've been really impressed with how you've talked to the trustees and explained mm-hmm. the ARPA projects, and like really got that moving. I think I know that I've been lagging behind myself and my project, but you've really gotten in front of them and started getting that money committed. So ARPA funds, a lot of people don't know what they are. It's mm-hmm. the American Rescue Plan Act, I think. And we got $4 million here mm-hmm. in the township. And so we've been using some of it. The board decided to upgrade a lot of our technology. So can you just give us kind of an overview of what that included for you?
Yeah. So in the, we did, last year we did a survey out to mm-hmm. the township, the residents, and kind of see what they were looking, kind of what their ideas were as well. And it was actually one of the first times, or maybe the first time, that unexpectedly kind of IT was above public safety. So I still give John mm-hmm. and Jim some flack for that. But government continuity and security was a top priority. Yeah. And I think that's really because people see that now. I mean, mm-hmm. Probably don't know anybody that hasn't had some fraudulent thing in their bank account or credit mm-hmm. card, or so that those little small things are top of mind. So we decided that we would use some of that towards government continuity and security. And one of the other, our first piece was our phone system. So our phone system is approaching, it's over 15 years old. I want to say it's close to 17 years old, mm-hmm. and it was unsupported and third party supported. So it was just time to make a change there. So we used some ARPA funds to upgrade our phone system. On top of that is to make our phone system redundant. So we've been kind of trying to get redundancy in our communications. Next step was wireless communication. So our new wireless infrastructure came into place as well. That's still a project that's ongoing. We'll really improve our security and actually provide not only more reliable and faster internet, wireless internet internally, our public wireless internet also got a big upgrade there. Mm-hmm. Third part, recently, this last board meeting, was to upgrade our firewalls. Our firewalls are just such an intricate portion of our network, whether it be mm-hmm. internal or external traffic. It's everything gets scanned, and kind of everything goes through there. So without that piece, our whole security infrastructure kind of falls apart. Yeah. So we need to make sure that is always top of mind.
So where do phishing attempts fall into what you're describing? Like, what part of security is that?
Well, that's a huge part of security. So we get, I would say that's probably one of our most common things. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that falls into an ARPA project necessarily. Yeah. That's more of our training and our mm-hmm. kind of our reassurance with people that, We introduced the fish alert button recently.
I know. So. That's what I want to talk about, because I think so. We get a fish alert where we get these random emails from, I guess they're from you, but they look like they're phishing attempts. And so when we get them, I have to say that as an employee, we're always super proud of ourselves that we found it as a phishing attempt.
Yeah,
as a
congratulate you.
Great. So I think there was a really good one recently because it was coming from, there was one that was said it was from the supervisor. Mm-hmm. And it was, and it did get a couple of people.
Oh, they usually do.
It was like, I need to see you immediately. You need to email me immediately or call me. You need to do something immediately and do not call me. Or
right,
there's some
right,
kind
right.
of action the person okay. had to take. Yeah. And so I think they ended up physically going over it and see. We won't say who that is, but I thought that was a really, you know, it's so they knew enough not to click it, but they yeah. also still weren't quite sure because of right. whose name was attached to it. So yeah. what are some other examples of?
Well, it's actually done by an outside company.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, okay.
we actually pick, we used to pick categories and we really don't do that so much anymore. Now it's kind of fluid. So we're approaching tax time. So you'll see a lot more mm-hmm. with W-2s and taxes, elections. You're going to see a lot of stuff coming through with elections and just topical things. But we do like to use, they do like to look out and use our logos or use our supervisor or use their name at some point.
Mm-hmm.
If a lot of these real ones that come in, they will go to your website and get information about your leadership and things
yeah.
like that, and use that against an employee to try to trick them into clicking on something or, mm-hmm. or doing something.
What happens when the employee clicks? What can end up happening, and why do we try and avoid that?
Well, I mean, that's really, if you look at the biggest breaches that have gone across the board, whether it be large companies like Verizon and there's many of them out there, including Microsoft. They get usually when you click, there's an action taken there, whether you're going to put in some personal information, mm-hmm. whether it be your social security number, it could be your credit card information, it could be a file that's downloaded mm-hmm. that then becomes a bot, that we call it, that at that point would spread around it or start sending information back out. That's where the firewall actually comes in. So we actually have a piece called Wildfire. So every time, you don't even see it or notice mm-hmm. it, but every time you download a file, a copy of that file gets sent out to Palo Alto. It's a sandbox, and they execute that file and see what it is in real time mm-hmm. before you even get that file. So we kind of get reports on that weekly, and we get several that are malicious, whether mm-hmm. they come through via email,
sure.
things like that.
There's,
if you look at the numbers, it's pretty impressive and maybe scary to some people at the same time.
Yeah. I think, because of our township and the demographics here, we have a very vulnerable population to
sure.
the phishing attempts. So
mm-hmm.
what advice would you have? Because I know that you're focused on really what goes on internally here at the township, but what are some best practices for people who are, let's just say, most of our population is over 50?
Well, interesting enough, so I went with one of our police captains a couple of years ago to a lady's house that had been fished by a company posing as Best Buy or Geek Squad to do that type of thing. And it's really just about complacency. And it's really the same thing we try to overcome here. So when nothing's going on, everybody feels secure, you get a little lax on them. It's like, nothing's going to happen. Mm-hmm. And so we just have to kind of tell the population and employees here, the message is really the same. It's if you get a message that really wants urgent action,
mm-hmm.
don't take that urgent action.
Yeah.
There isn't any reason for you to immediately go and enter any of your financial information or anything related that's personal relation, has a personal portion to it where you may want to put in any kind
yeah.
of information. So it's just, you just really have to be vigilant about mm-hmm. those links and that type of thing. So.
Yeah. And I think that what happens too, so it happened, my mother-in-law, I don't know, she was living in like an assisted living, and she was living in Pennsylvania, and it was through a UPS driver who thought it was, so there was something different about the mail that was going out or the pack, mm-hmm. what she was being requested of. And she had given, I don't know, maybe like $10,000
mm-hmm.
and she wasn't supposed to talk to anybody about it. She wasn't supposed to share it with family. And then it ended up kind of unraveling, she was so embarrassed because mm-hmm. This is a smart, educated woman, and she just really couldn't believe that she had given, gone down that path. But they're so manipulative, and I think that is something that we just have to, as a younger person looking, taking care of older adults, that's something you need to ask the questions, because they just don't, the technology has changed. They're not really, they're not always up to date. Sometimes they don't even use phones, mm-hmm. the seniors, and then they get, I don't know, what is it, groomed
sure,
in that way.
Sure, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's not even emailed. We get a lot of, I'm going to say this right now, Microsoft's never going to call you. Your antivirus system's never, your computer's never going to flash a
their
screen
phone calls.
Or to call this number,
yeah.
or mm-hmm. that will make a phone call to you
right.
asking you to do something. They're never going to do that. And we get that, that's something that happens as well, is that voice, you know, that voice. And does it make sense? Does it, I mean, it's pretty obvious to me and you, but some people it's not.
Right.
So if you're never going to bail out your nephew with Target gift cards. I mean, mm-hmm. It sounds silly when you talk about it.
Yeah.
But that scam
right.
worked for a long period of time.
Sure.
And they get a lot of details that they tried to do that to my mom as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they knew my nephew. They knew my nephew, and they knew he had a daughter somehow.
Yeah.
And they also assumed, so there was a Pistons game downtown. Mm-hmm. And so my mom got a phone call saying, your nephew Andrew went downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And he was leaving the Pistons game, got a drunk driving, he's in jail, you need to do this to get him out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very convincing. She had called me, and she's like,
immediate
Andrew's in
action,
jail.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I was like, so I called him, and obviously he wasn't.
Yeah.
But that was the thing, is they wanted, you know, $1,000 in gift cards, he can get out of jail. Well, that doesn't make
sense. That's never going to do it.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me and you, but to other people that have that many, you know, you get that many details about a situation, it's
right.
like, okay, then, you know, that's what we need to do. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, obviously that's not the case.
So who should we have them call when something like that happens? Like to check in. If she didn't have you to call, who do you think that person should call?
Oh, my mom, yeah.
Like your mom had you to call.
Yeah, the residents here, we've had calls into the mm-hmm. police department because it really
yeah.
it is an actionable, it's a theft is
mm-hmm.
really what it is. So I wouldn't be afraid yeah. to call. I mean, I wouldn't call, use the 911 line to
right.
do it, but the non-emergency line to get information about that. And
yeah.
then, you know, even if the police transfers them to us to talk to them, that would be fine too. It's just to get a kind of talk them off that ledge and not making
right.
not making a decision that they're going to regret. But yeah, unfortunately, in that topic, there isn't a lot of people to call.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their first call, even if it's not the police department, their first call should be to one of them, maybe one of their children or one
yeah.
of, you know, somebody that's a little more tech savvy in the
right.
family to kind of talk them through that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's good advice. We've gone kind of down a rabbit hole with that, but I think it's really,
no, it's okay.
it's, you know, we can't repeat that kind of information often enough because so many people are still getting.
Absolutely. And it's never going to stop because it's profitable.
Right. Tell me a little bit about, so I know that things have kind of evolved from like what IT used to be, maybe like when Gail was here, when mm-hmm. she started 30 years ago to where it is now. So what are some of the things that you see changing and what's to come? Like how will AI be affecting us, do you think?
That's a loaded question. Yeah, that's kind of a broad question.
Yeah.
We actually do use it a little bit in IT mm-hmm. now to write a little bit of code for us
mm-hmm.
And things like that. So just to give us a framework, we're not using that code and rolling that into the system, but you can improve, just reduce the amount of time. So something maybe take me an hour to write a simple piece of code to automate something. We may ask mm-hmm. ChatGPT to do that and then redo that code from there,
mm-hmm.
which could...
like a rough draft.
Yeah, but it can save me 45 minutes. So that, mm-hmm. it may take me 15 minutes instead of an hour. So there are things to do in that area. I think you're going to see it more really kind of ramp out. We hear so much about it now, like it's going to take over. And so I think it's going to be more of a slower rollout, and you'll see it more into the office applications first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to kind of help people write documents and help people do, you know, Excel spreadsheets and do calculations and things like that. I kind of look at it now as AI is, so when Pong came out as a video game, it was like the greatest thing. Well, it was, you know, looking back on it, it was like, wow, this is really rudimentary and
right.
terrible.
Yeah.
And I think you're going to see that with AI. It's like what you're seeing now to us seems like this is great or scary,
right.
whatever you want to call it. I personally, I don't have any fear of it at all. But I think you're going to see it really evolve out of the way it is now and into more useful scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's not something that we use a ton now. But one of the things that changed, you know, really big over the last decade would be the movement from on-premise equipment to cloud, getting your data out of your building. Out into, you know, a Microsoft or Amazon cloud, or there's a bunch of private clouds out there. which gives you a lot
unless
of flexibility.
Unless you're editing, right? Unless you're editing a lot of video.
Well, that, yeah,
we have our own special needs here in the cable department. Yeah. But yes, sure. I agree. Yes,
but there's
I agree.
A lot of, whether, I mean, whether your backups sit out there or whether, you know, there's still security issues with that, but you still, it gives you more flexibility as a township and as an employee to be able to access that data instead of having to maybe VPN back in here or physically come back in the office to do that type of work where you can, you know, and that's been a focus. Kind of going back to our ARPA piece is the government continuity is getting some of this, some of our, well, I shouldn't say some, but more of our data out into the cloud and becoming more flexible. You know, in case we do have a disaster here, like a tornado or something like that, that takes us out for, you know, a period of time.
Yeah.
Where we could get, you know, I would tell you now that, and I don't feel alone, that we were not prepared for COVID. Mm. We're not prepared in really a week's amount of time to send our entire work staff offsite. Nobody really had a vision doing that, and which is nobody's fault, because I think from the littlest companies to the largest companies, nobody really thought that that
would last as long, right?
Or was ever really going to happen. And I thought we did a great job doing what we had to do at the time, but going forward, it's like everyone's going to be far more prepared for that type of situation.
I was going to ask what department gives you the most trouble. I think I know who that might be. What keeps you up at night? What kind of challenges do you have?
Well, nothing keeps me up at
night.
That's
good. I'm good. So, I'm happy to hear that.
I'm pretty good at shutting that off. I guess the challenge, one of our biggest, I'm not going to call it a challenge, but one of the biggest things I'm excited about is our changing GIS structure going forward to the global information system or geographic information system. Sorry. So we had had a great product that Gail helped develop in CivicSite, and which gave us really GIS capabilities at the desktop for everybody.
Tell us what that does, because I think the people GIS. Is that the mapping?
It's going to be okay. In a simplistic term, it's mapping. Mm-hmm. You can do dashboards. We can use it for utilities. We can use it for elections. We can use it for just. There's a lot. It really has. Unlimited possibilities. So we were able to do that to the desktop, and what she did there was great. We were able to do that at a reduced cost, but that product is now just, it was a homegrown thing and it aged, you know, it's aged out. So we're going to hopefully start investing here shortly. We'll see what the next budget, but I think it's going to be in there to really invest in that area. And I know DPW is chomping at the bit for it. And, you know, there's going to be a needs analysis going out with that, but there's really, that's something that really touches all departments, and I think Cable actually will probably use that too, because you can get demographics and that type of information from that. So that's pretty exciting. I think I'm good with that. So that's
good. Conversation to be continued for sure.
Yeah, for sure. The rest of it is just we're making a lot of projects or improvements at the same time. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit that can be a little concerning or stressful, because there's just a lot of moving parts right now. But so far everything's been going pretty well, and there's and I think the ARPA funds kind of threw a lot of those projects in a short time frame. And talking to other consultants, and I've been called, that might be crazy to do this all at once. I said, but we can pull it off. We have enough staff to do it. We have the expertise to do it, and we have enough vendor relationships, which are really strong, to be able to make us cross the finish line. So it doesn't something that keeps me up at all. So,
well, good. I'm happy to hear that. Thank you for the conversation today. I think we could continue a lot longer, but we're at 20, more than 20 minutes. Now we've got seven or eight eyes on us, which is nice. Yeah, it goes quick when you're talking about what you love to do. So do you have any final comments for us?
I guess I'm not going to make it IT related, but just see what you guys have done with the cable department and the community relations over the last couple of years since you come on board. It's pretty exciting to see and get this, this podcast studio here, and hopefully we can get some residents to take advantage of it.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. We can talk a lot more about it if you want to continue to compliment me. Me and my team.
Well, I got to get back to all these projects.
Right. Well, thank you. And so everyone, thank you for watching. And thanks for watching Coffee with Carrie. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thank you.